We want to welcome today Father Reggie Urban, who is a classmate of mine from high school, back in the last century. There was a high school seminary in Victoria, and that's where we both went to school and graduated in 1968. And Father Reggie served 25 years in the Grand Island Diocese and then switched to the Dodge City Diocese, which was really his home, and ministered there for a number of years. Now he's retired and living in Hayes, which is in our diocese, thank God. And and so he's been helping out in various parishes out in the western part of our diocese and also the Dodge City Diocese. It's a great benefit to those of us who are still in active ministry to have retired priests around so we can get away once in a while. We are going to have Father Don back here in retirement as of July 1, and so I'm going to be gone a lot. So we round out the Easter season with the Feast of Pentecost, and in the first couple of centuries, this whole thing, the whole 50 days, was called Pentecost. That's what Pentecost means, 50 days. And it was considered the great Sunday from Easter for 50 days. In other words, we celebrated Sunday, the great Sunday, for all those days. It's a week of weeks. Seven, which is a perfect number in biblical terms, times itself, 49, plus one, the eighth day. And we all know what the eighth day means. And so, you know, in that numerology that the Bible loves and the liturgy also loves, this is just a wonderful way to round out this Easter season. Now, this is about the Spirit, of course. Easter is about the resurrection of the Lord, but it's the Spirit who raises Jesus from the dead. So the Spirit is always there, even at the beginning, at creation. Creation begins with the Word spoken by the Father. And that Word is the Son. But you can't speak a word without using breath. You have to push it out of your mouth with breath. And the Hebrew word for spirit and breath and wind is all the same word. So we hear a lot in our readings today about wind and breath. Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That was in our gospel passage. And in the Acts of the Apostles, there was a great driving wind that came from heaven, and that was the Spirit. And so people gathered around in a great throng at this marvel of the wind, but they're still confused because they speak different languages. And so what they can't do in purely human terms, in other words, be one, the Spirit takes care of that. And so the Apostles speak, preach, and everybody in all these different language groups, they all understand them in their own language. So the Spirit is about three things, really. It's about creation, the breath of God breathing creation into existence. Secondly, it's about unity, because they are unified by everyone understanding them in their own language. But unity is the role of the Spirit always. Even in the Trinity, for all eternity, Christian theology has always said that the Spirit is the agent of unity. So the Spirit is the union between the Father and the Son. The Spirit, even in the Trinity, is the agent of unity. But then when you get into the economic Trinity, the economy of salvation in which the Father sends both the Son and the Spirit is the particular agent of unity. And so the Spirit makes the church. It makes us one body in Christ. And so in baptism, when we become members of the body of Christ, in union with Him and with each other in the church, it's the Spirit that brings about that unity. And so there's an invocation of the Spirit over a newly baptized person. And in the Eucharist, which is the ongoing sacrament of initiation, the ongoing creation, recreation in the new creation of grace that replaces the old creation of sin and death, the new creation of grace in this Easter day that lasts forever. It's the great Sunday that is forever. In Eucharist, we have two invocations of the Spirit, don't we? We invoke the Spirit over the bread and wine, and he unites them to the Son so powerfully that they become his body and blood. Now, that's something we can't do humanly. We can say all the right words, and we can do all the right actions, and we can gather here, but we're powerless and we're confused until the Spirit comes. And the Spirit unites miraculously that bread and wine so they become the body and blood of Christ. And then there's a second invocation over us so that we would become one body, one Spirit in Christ. And again, that's something we can't accomplish on our own. We can gather, but we really can't become one without the Son and the Spirit. That's what makes us one. So we come from different language groups, different ethnic groups. You know, practically all of us here aren't native. We came from some other land, some other culture, no matter how many generations ago. There are people here this morning for whom English is not their first language, you know. And we come from all different walks of life. We have different interests, different political views, different theological views. We'd have different professions, different walks of life, different callings, different gifts. And yet, in the one Spirit, we are one body in Christ. And we can't make that happen on our own. It's the Spirit who is the agent of that unity. And then finally, the Spirit is the agent of reconciliation. So when Jesus, in that gospel story, breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit," he follows that immediately by saying, "Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain, they are retained." In other words, through the power of the Spirit, he is giving to the church, his body, the ability, the grace to reconcile and to heal. And just like the creation and just like the unity, this is something we can't bring about in our humanness alone. It takes the Spirit. And so the lack of reconciliation is one of the biggest problems that every culture and every age has. Families that should be unified are split because of sin and unforgiveness. And how often do people hang on to a grudge for years and years and divide the family? And how often do people get offended by their neighbors and are unable to forgive? And so we have this great sacrament of reconciliation that celebrates the fact that even when we can't bring reconciliation and peace in our humanness, the grace of God through the breath of the Spirit can make even that possible. And so when I can't reconcile with you, and maybe I should, but when I can't, I can receive reconciliation from God anyway, because God's love and God's grace and God's Spirit is more powerful even than my sin. God's reconciliation and God's healing is more powerful than our unforgiveness. The miracle of unity, the miracle of constantly being recreated in grace, the miracle of reconciliation, this is all the agency of the Spirit. And today we give particular thanks for that breath of the Spirit that has been breathed on us once more.